So next up, we will look into the government's plan to dismantle the Canadian Wheat Board. Professor Barney, who is presently involved in a research project on the politics of grain handling on the Canadian prairies, will offer us a brief history of the Canadian Wheat Board and also will give us an update of the politics that are presently happening right now. Then we will talk to friends of the Canadian Wheat Board, namely Alberta farmer Lawrence Nicholson and Saskatchewan farmer Stuart Wells, about plans to launch a class action against the Canadian government if it dismantles the Canadian Wheat Board.
The Contemporary Canadian Wheat Board was established in 1935 to guarantee wheat pool payments to prairie farmers during the Depression. In 1942, what's known as the single desk system was established, and that was a system whereby farmers were mandated to market their crops through the single selling desk of the Wheat Board as a means of managing the grain supply during wartime. But then following the war, this single desk system was retained in order to increase the market power of Canadian farmers on the world grain market. Up until the recent changes to the board made by the Conservative government, Canadian farmers growing barley or durum or spring wheat have been required to sell their crops through the single desk of the Wheat Board. And this has been the source of some dissatisfaction among a minority of producers in the prairies who felt that they could perhaps do better on the grain market, selling their grain on their own rather than going through the collective mechanism of the single desk. But the majority of Canadian farmers on the prairies have consistently expressed their preference for maintaining the mandatory single desk system as both the most effective and the most lucrative way to get their crop to market. There are many perceived advantages to the single desk system. One is that the scale of selling those crops on a collective basis on the global market allows for or provides for a kind of formidable competitive advantage in the global market, where the collective presence of Canadian farmers together exerts a considerable influence on the market and positions them very advantageously. Another advantage of the single desk system and the Wheat Board in general is that it can provide farmers, especially small and medium-sized farmers, with a great deal of predictability and price stability in what has historically been a very volatile market, particularly in wheat. Of course, the other great advantage of the Wheat Board is that all of the proceeds of the sales of farmers' wheats are returned to them through the board because they, in fact, own the board instead of profits from the sale of wheat being skimmed by private corporations. The board, as a collective that is effectively owned by the farmers whose wheat and barley it's selling, returns all of the proceeds to those farmers. It's also a democratic organization in its structure. The Canadian Wheat Board is collectively controlled and funded by the farmers on whose behalf it negotiates sales and to whom its proceeds are returned. Since 1998, the Canadian Wheat Board has been governed by a 15-member board of directors, 10 of whom were directly accountable to the prairie farmers who elected them. Now, the single-desk marketing system has traditionally been an issue in board elections. In elections to the Canadian Wheat Board, there's typically a slate of candidates who are in favor of retaining the single desk system and a slate of candidates who are opposed. And over the past several decades, Canadian farmers have consistently elected board members whose majority has been in favor of retaining the single desk. Now, that being said, the Conservative government has long opposed the Canadian Wheat Board, and particularly the single desk, seeing it as a kind of collectivist institution that violates or interferes with individual farmers' ability to choose how they want to market their grain. Soon after they were elected to a majority, the Conservative government signaled that they were going to proceed with the dismantling of the Canadian Wheat Board and the single desk system. And they very quickly acted on this last summer, indicating that they were going to propose legislation whereby the single desk system would be dismantled and the board would continue to exist on a voluntary basis for a period of time. This, of course, prompted a great deal of unrest in the prairies, and numerous farmers organized and mobilized in opposition to this measure. One of the interesting things in this whole drama has been that Section 47(1) of the Canadian Wheat Board Act, in fact, requires by statute that any time the government's going to contemplate a change in the marketing structure of the Canadian Wheat Board, it has to consult with farmers themselves through the mechanism of a plebiscite. In this case, the government declined to undertake this consultation on the grounds that it felt that it had received a mandate from the citizens of Western Canada, which authorized them to dismantle the single desk system, and that they therefore didn't need to go to a plebiscite of farmers in order to receive authorization for that as required by the Act. In response to that, the Wheat Board itself ran a plebiscite asking farmers directly if they wanted to retain the single desk marketing system in wheat and barley. And in September of 2011, 62% of farmers expressed a preference to retain the single desk in wheat, and 51% of farmers expressed a preference to retain the single desk system in barley. So once again, a majority of farmers expressed their preference for retaining the single desk marketing system for their crops. The government completely disregarded these results and went ahead and tabled legislation to dismantle the Wheat Board. A court challenge was launched against that legislation by a number of farmers and supporters of the Wheat Board and members of the board itself. This case went to the federal court, and the federal court found, in fact, that the government's legislation did violate the Canadian Wheat Board Act and, in fact, characterized the government's actions as a violation of the rule of law. The government completely disregarded this ruling, which is now under appeal, and proceeded with the legislation. And this is what prompted the directors of the Wheat Board to seek an injunction in a Manitoba court to stop the legislation and to stop the effects of the legislation until such time as the appeal of that ruling could be heard definitively by a higher court. And that injunction has been before court in Manitoba in recent weeks, and just a few days ago the judge indicated that he was going to reserve judgment in that matter. So that is at this point unresolved. But that's where things stand. The elected members of the Wheat Board were removed with the passage of the legislation, and instead of those democratically elected board members, the government has installed some appointed board members whose job it is to see to the dismantling of the board according to the new legislation.
That was Professor Barney on the Canadian Wheat Board, and he provided a brief history of the Canadian Wheat Board. Right now we have friends of the Canadian Wheat Board, Mr. Stuart Wells and Mr. Nicholson Lawrence. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Stuart Wells.
And Mr. Nicholson Lawrence, are you also there?
I am here. Thank you.
Well, hello. So tell us, I'll start with Mr. Stuart Wells. What was your involvement with the Canadian Wheat Board prior to all this dismantling?
I was one of the elected board members. I'm a farmer in southwestern Saskatchewan, and the district that I represented took in southwestern Saskatchewan and southern Alberta right out to the foothills. And I was elected in a director's election just a little over 12 months ago.
Right. And that was when the legislation was passed or is being passed? Because is the legislation right now in Senate for review, the bill?
No, the actual legislation to dismantle the Wheat Board was tabled on October 18th of last year, and it received royal assent on December the 15th. And so the Canadian Wheat Board, under which I was elected, I'll call it the 1998 Wheat Board, has that bill has been changed now as of December the 15th. And so one of the consequences of that was that there are no more farmer elected directors at the Canadian Wheat Board.
Right. And Mr. Nicholson Lawrence, could you introduce yourself for the radio?
I'm a farmer from southeast Alberta. I have been involved with this ever since the government decided to make changes to the board, and that goes back to 2006. I've been involved in it. I've held meetings in southern Alberta and with about 30 meetings, I guess, in total in the last 5-6 years. I'm an irrigation farmer. I produce hard red spring, durum, and canola.
So being a farmer from southern Alberta, wouldn't the dismantling of the wheat board actually benefit you because you're closer to the border and so it would be easier for you to export your wheat at a cheaper price?
That's a very interesting question. If you look at the 10-year average of where our wheat goes in our production, 70% of our wheat goes offshore, in other words, to offshore markets. 20% is consumed here in Canada, and only about 10% goes into the United States. If you look at the wheat board in the last number of years, it had 14 challenges of anti-dumping in the United States through the World Trade Tribunal, and we've won every one of them. But if you open up that border, I think that border will be closed fairly quickly as soon as you start dumping wheat in the United States.
Okay.
And it's not a big market anyway. It's only about 10% of our production.
Right. So the argument that it would benefit people who are closer to the border is irrelevant.
It really, if you feed a market, you maintain a market. If you oversupply a market, you destroy it, and you also destroy price.
Okay. So why are you guys planning to launch a class action?
Well, first of all, if you look at the Canadian Wheat Board, it's been farmer-controlled since 1998. And that was a wish of farmers throughout many years, about 70, 65 years of the Canadian Wheat Board, that the farmers wanted some control on the board through their an elected board of directors, because prior to that, it was appointed commissioners by the government. We got that in 98 in the Canadian Wheat Board Act, and we pay all the expenses of the board, so therefore we should control it. Now we have no control over the board at all. We can't even overlook to make sure that, you know, things are done in an upright way, and why should we continue to pay for that? So with the class action suit that we're looking at launching, the Canadian Wheat Board has assets. There's 2,000 Canadian Wheat Board cars, 2 acres that the board just authorized in purchasing, as well as the head office building, as well as many contracts. You know, the Canadian Wheat Board move grain to between 70 and 80 countries around the world on a yearly basis. And, you know, that market is very crucial to us because 70% of our production goes offshore, and we need to maintain that market.
So I'm confused. Without the Canadian Wheat Board, you wouldn't be able to maintain the market in Asia?
Well, the grain companies would then be marketing it. And if you look at the Canadian Wheat Board in their history, about 70% of the grain exported offshore has been done by the Canadian Wheat Board, and about 30% have been done by grain companies. So as long as they're accredited agents of the board, they can sell in the international market. So really, in the international market, we have the best of both worlds right under the old system with the Canadian Wheat Board as well as the grain companies marketing grain into that market. But, you know, there's long-term contracts, and the Canadian Wheat Board, through logistics, could supply customers with what they required, and that's very important. We must, as Canadian farmers, supply what the market demands. And the Canadian Wheat Board did a very good job of the logistics of that.
Yes, one of the things that the Wheat Board could do with the single desk selling was to price discriminate into different markets. And what that meant was it could charge different prices into different countries. And that's an advantage that is lost under a multiple seller system. If you have 3 or 5 or 10 companies exporting that grain out of Canada, that price differentiation disappears. And so not only do the farmers become poorer, and the well-studied and documented benefits of that price discrimination are between $300 and $500 million per year, and that's money that simply ceases to exist. It's foreign currency lost to Canada, and it's also income that's lost to Western Canadian farmers.
So why couldn't farmers replace the Canadian Wheat Board with a farmer-based cooperative?
Well, that's an interesting proposition. In the history of grain marketing out of Western Canada over the last 100 years, there's actually been 5 examples of different types of wheat boards that have been tried. And 2 of those examples have been voluntary organizations and cooperatives that were very closely linked with the Western Canadian wheat pools, which were true cooperatives. And it turns out that a voluntary system can't survive. Because of the way the markets work, those types of voluntary selling agencies can limp along for a couple of years. But in the cases, in those two examples over the last 100 years, when they went bankrupt, they were a couple of the largest bankruptcies in Canadian history. And it's just that the commodity markets are worldwide are so volatile that it really means that those types of marketing agencies, if they're voluntary, can't work. They need the discipline and legislative framework that they get from being a single desk seller, which is provided by the federal government legislation.
Just to give you an example of that, if you look at the system today, you have multi elevators that can load 100 car unit trains. If the Canadian Wheat Board in the old system has 80 orders for wheat for export, and the grain company has 20 orders for canola, which is a non-board grain, and the railway only spot 50 cars, guess which commodity gets loaded first? The canola. Why? Because if that canola doesn't get to terminal position and not aboard vessel, the grain company is charged with demurrage. If the Canadian Wheat Board grain doesn't get there, the Canadian Wheat Board is charged with demurrage, and the grain company just handle the grain on behalf of the board. So they're going to look out after their best interest first. So that system was tried in 1923 to 28 when the pools started to survive, and they didn't have any elevators, and the Wheat Board has no elevator system. So, I mean, you're reliant on the grain companies to handle your grain on your behalf, and they're going to handle the same kind of grain as the board is. They're going to make sure that their grain gets there first. I guarantee it. Okay. I was in the grain business for 30 years. I know how they work.
Okay. We have 2 minutes left, so could you just tell us... Once the Canadian Wheat Board is dismantled, my understanding is that it's going to be very difficult if another government gets put in power to remantle it because of all the costs involved and also because of the World Trade Organization and the economics of free trade. Could you please comment on that, Mr. Wells? Actually,
sure. That's the Chapter 11 of the... North American Free Trade Agreement deals with this type of thing, and there are significant barriers there to reinstating the Canadian Wheat Board at some future date. The foreign-based grain companies would be able to sue the Canadian government for compensation for lost profits, and it's the foreign investor protection rights are being... Seeded into a lot of international agreements all around the world, and this is what this Chapter 11 is. Now, it might make some difference. One of the NDP potential leadership candidates, for instance, is on the record saying that if he became Prime Minister, he would reinstate the Canadian Wheat Board if that's what farmers wanted. And one of the things that might make that easier is the fact that the Federal Court of Canada has ruled that the government has, in fact, broken the law. In its dismantling of the Canadian Wheat Board without giving farmers a vote. And that may well be a mitigating factor moving forward if a future government does decide to have a vote of farmers, and if those farmers say that they want a single desk selling advantages back in Western Canada.
Okay, well, I think that's all the time we have for now. So good luck with the court cases. And just to summarize, there's a court case in Manitoba and there's the federal court case presently happening. Thank you for being on air.
Thank you.
Thank you.